The date is October 29th.
The episode is 23.
This is the Backlog
Exposed.
This is the Backlog Exposed podcast, bringing you weekly discussions on gaming, as well as quick insights into sports, entertainment, and anything else that we can think of. To get in touch with us, ask questions, or just hang out and chat, join us in the Backlog Exposed Discord. Follow us on Twitter at the Backlog Pod, or send us an email at thebacklogexposed@gmail.com. You can find all of our social media information, as well as many different ways to listen to our podcast, by visiting our website, thebacklogexposed.com.
I'm Joe.
I'm Kevin.
And we are
The Backlog
Exposed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Backlog Exposed. I'm your host, Kevin, and I'll be doing a solo run today. And it's okay because I have quite a lot to get to today. We're going to be hitting a bit of news, a bit of upcoming information, and I'm going to dive into a few things, some hot topics to talk about, not just video games, but primarily video games. However, let's dive right into it. The Red Sox, my beloved Boston Red Sox, are your World Series champions. Major League Baseball held their World Series, Boston Red Sox versus the LA Dodgers. It was quite a World Series. And leading up to it, the Red Sox were pretty much the favorites, and they just had a hell of a season. And I know when I do a podcast and people listen, they're from all over the country, all over the world. And so not everyone's going to share in the joy of hearing about the Red Sox winning the World Series. However, I grew up in Boston, went to school in Boston, well, grew up in the Boston area, went to school in Boston, and actually worked at the Red Sox Fenway Park for a little while I was in college, making some side money. And I just have a very, very deep, deep passion for the Red Sox and a lot of the Boston teams. So if you live up there, you quite understand what I'm referring to. For those of you who don't, I do suggest visiting Boston. It's one of the best cities in the world, in my opinion. And I wish I was there right now celebrating. It was one hell of a win. Would have been cool to see them win in Boston. However, Boston knows how to party. So I don't imagine there is any lack of desire getting on those streets. I remember watching a video when I was, when we were in college and YouTube was kind of not new, but newer. And I watched when the Patriots won the Super Bowl for the first time. There was a lot of crazy rioting and stuff going down. And I remember watching a video on YouTube and I of these two guys running down the street telling everyone, come on out, party, go crazy, blah, blah, blah. And turned out it was my brother and my buddy Eric who were yelling at everyone, telling them to come out in the streets. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, people are out there flipping cars and stuff, going crazy. But yeah, the Red Sox, man, that's what I've been watching this week. Kind of a bittersweet victory for me because, you know, I try every year trying to get back into baseball. Baseball was my sport. I didn't care much growing up for football or anything like that. Did watch basketball, but more of the finales and things like that. And, you know, I didn't really get into football until later in life, till about college age, is when I really started paying attention. And to be honest, being a Patriots fan, I wasn't a Patriots fan growing up. I hated them, and I didn't like that they lost all the time. Being a kid, I didn't really understand what it meant to win or lose, but, you know, or what it meant for a football team to be able to win a Super Bowl or things like that. And I didn't like Drew Bledsoe for some reason. So when he left and Tom Brady stepped in, back then when no one knew what Tom Brady would become, I said, you know what, I like this guy, I'm gonna root for him, because I wasn't a big fan of Drew Bledsoe. And, you know, look, fast forward to the end of 2018, and here you have Patriots tearing it up every year, top dogs. The Red Sox, I mean, in my lifetime, if I could tell you back in, you know, 10, 15 years ago, well, let's see, 14 years ago was 24 years old. So yeah, 15 years ago, if you had said to me, Kevin, the Red Sox are going to win 4 World Series by the time you're 40 years old, I would have said bullshit. First the Bambino, you know, they're not lucky, this, that, the other thing. And I would have, you know, it was a very depressing time going and being a Red Sox fan, going every year. Every year, the dream was alive. You know, when I was in college and stuff and working, and I went to Northeastern University, so I was a stone throw away from Fenway Park. I'd walk over there, I'd scalp ticket or get scalped tickets for cheap, and then, you know, go watch. I'd watch 20, 30 games a year, and it was life. I mean, you could do it if you did it right, or, you know, you scalp tickets for real cheap, you could do it on a college budget. And that's what my passion was watching the Red Sox. I could have told you every stat, every person, backup, all that. Fast forward, and then you go through the years of the steroid scandals and things like that, and you find out, oh man, this guy, that guy, oh Jesus, everybody's doing it. Well, I kind of just lost interest for a period of time. I was just not as excited. I didn't care about the rosters. I didn't care about who was this and that, because you get let down, you know, when you find out your favorites are formerly steroid users or whatever. And, you know, there's that aspect of everybody's doing it, so why does it matter? But then you see the guys that, I guess you got to believe, they're probably not doing it. And, you know, they're not making the millions like the top dogs are, the ones that got away with it. And so I'm not a big fan of the cheating. I'm not a big fan of that. So I think it was when Manny Ramirez got hit with that. It just kind of backed me off. I was super excited to have him on the staff. Seeing him get paid $22 million, $27 million a year, whatever it was back then, seemed crazy. Nowadays, it's like a standard contract. But, you know, back then, it's like, this guy's getting paid all that money. His contract's not up for another couple of years, but he's already playing that senioritis. He's like, I'm done in a couple of years. Either you renew my contract or I'm not going to play hard. And he'd sit the bench. He'd be hurt all the time. And I just, you know, it was like, the wind gets let out of your sails as a fan when you're there to watch these guys play. You're there to enjoy. And, you know, it's work for them, but this is a special kind of work, you know? So when they're making what some people couldn't even imagine, you know, millionaires don't even imagine making the amount of money that these some of these guys are mega millionaires, you know? When you got $100 million guaranteed over the course of a couple of years, you're sitting pretty. And that's the fun of baseball, right? Is when the baseball contracts are pretty much locked in stone. You could suck for a couple of years. You're still going to get paid. And it's just it's funny how, as those contracts start to wind down, you see, some of these guys just start tearing it up again. I mean, it's not funny. And that's my point is, yeah, it's not funny at all. So anyways, congratulations to the 2018 Boston Red Sox. I gotta say, while not being, a season long viewer, I kept tabs with the, you know, how they were doing. I didn't watch every game, but I'd watch every once in a while. I'd throw it on the TV. And just, I got to say, shout out to Alex Cora, year one as manager, former ball player, comes on in, does the job. And he did a phenomenal job as the manager throughout the playoffs. I watched the playoff games and he just managed that team very well. The only game that they lost was that 18 inning, you know, ridiculous game the other day. The only game they lost in the World Series, let me say. And, you know, he played that right. He couldn't dip any deeper than he already had. He had to stay where he was at and win or lose, because they had more important games ahead. For them, that was taking a 3-0 swing, and it's, you know, it wasn't the end of the world that they lost that game. And now, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? They won the whole thing, so it looked like a great play. Maybe we'd be saying something differently if they lost today, and then it's 3-2, and then the pressure's on the Red Sox to close it out, but, or 2-2, sorry. Whatever, 3-2. So, yeah, they won by, 5-1 today. And even on the other side, you got Dave Roberts coaching the Dodgers. And I recall back watching the Red Sox when they were down 3-0 against the Yankees and in that 2004. And there was just nothing else like it. He stole second, caused that rally, scored. There was hope. They moved on. They won the World Series. And being a lifelong fan of the Boston Red Sox when that happened, it was something that you can't really describe the feeling. It's like you have this weight on your shoulders that gets let loose. And confidence is a key thing. I think the confidence itself goes a long way in a lot of different aspects of life. I'll be talking about that a little bit more in, different aspects of when we're talking about playing video games and things like that. But when these players get confident, they do better. Skill can be completely hindered if you're unsure of yourself. And if you're unsure that you should be the person standing there at the plate or pitching off the mound or playing in that game, if you're unsure of your skill set, the people around you are going to suffer. And team games, even solo games, the skill set is greatly impacted by your confidence alone. And this also, I would say, goes to meeting people. When you're living life, things are great. Everything seems to kind of go your way. And when you see people who are out there just, they got it all, well, confidence helps perpetuate that. You know, I've seen the ugliest dudes get the hottest women, I guess is the point. And when they have the confidence, it's unparalleled to be able to, if someone knows that they can do what they want because they're confident enough to believe that, you can't take that away from them if they believe it. Right, no one can walk up to me and say, "Kevin, you don't have a podcast," because I'm pretty confident that I do. Right, no matter how many times you tell me, and now you might not like it, you might tell me, "Kevin, I don't like your podcast," and my confidence could be hindered there. I could be like, "Oh man, I might not be that good at this," or I might not want to keep going because people don't like it. But I'm confident that I have a podcast. You can't take that away from me. So try as you might. I will always come back and tell you I do. I do have a podcast. I run it. I record it. I edit it. I upload it. Now, when you factor that into life and, you're working, you're pretty confident that you're where you're at in your career. You should be there. You know what you're doing. You're not afraid. No one can take that from you, right? You can own it. And so this is a perfect segue into another topic that I like to talk about quite a bit, and that's Fortnite. And I know Joe's not here to go, "Ugh, Fortnite, I'm done with that game." But Joe and I had a lot of fun with Fortnite. He has not yet, for the record here, so going on 2-3 weeks now, he has yet to change his profile so that I can see him online. And I don't know, he's busy and stuff, but that being said, I mean, every day we would log in, we'd jump on some games. It's quick pick-me-up, right? We have Call of Duty. We've had Call of Duty. But that was the go-to game for quite some time. And yes, we played it for a year. Time to move on. Plenty of other games to play. I don't blame him for a second. If you can do it, get away. Because, yeah, there's a ton of games. We'll get into a ton of games coming out. A ton of games that have come out. But I want to talk a little bit about the confidence and games like this. Now, as I have played more and more Fortnite and try to get more competitive, I know, I understand, I will never be on any of these stages. I will never be competing for money in these games, but I'm a competitive person. So when I see other people playing this game and playing for money and playing for keeps, so to speak, and getting big off of just a simple skill set that I think many of us can stop and say, well, I've got it down. I understand the mechanics. I understand a little bit of this and that. How do they get there? How do you go from where I'm at to where they're at? Like, what's the difference? What's separating it? Is it reaction time? Is it brain power? Is it sight? Is it better computer, better controller, better keyboard, faster finger movement? I mean, it's a little bit of probably a little bit of everything here, right? But confidence is very, very important. Very important. Let me tell you a little bit about this past weekend. So, along with the World Series, we had a World Series, so to speak, for Fortnite, and it was just so innovative for the esports scene. I know League of Legends and some of these games here have been selling out arenas across the country, across the world. I know that there have been esports games going on for quite some time, but in America, to the mass population, something like Fortnite, where mothers, fathers, grandparents, kids, school teachers, everybody knows what this game is. And anything that can be adopted from a child to an adult and be enjoyable and likable without being just sickening is amazing. I would not have been able to anticipate that Fortnite could maintain its popularity in this manner for this long. A couple months ago on the podcast, I talked about how it probably was going to roll off and die or get killed by Call of Duty or whatever, you know, and they're Epic as a company. Now that they have all this money, they're working on ways to keep the top title. And when you see the game you can play, the game you can jump in, the game you can play at any moment and do good. I mean, you can win. My son, 7 years old, has got victories. You can feel the success. You can see it. And you watch these people play the same exact game you're playing. You could be in these games with these people and you see them winning $400,000 and you're like, what's the difference? Why can't I? I mean, I could, if I keep playing, I could make it. And potentially that's true. The size, yes, there's millions, 70 million people or whatever playing this damn game, but not all of these people are playing it to win competitively. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many. Every week I talk about it, but I don't have anybody to play this game with anymore. A sad story, right? Cry on, cry a river. But most of the people that I know just have moved on from this game. And for some reason, I haven't. My son loves this game. And there's something about being able to play this game with him. This is a game that requires some level of hand-eye coordination. It requires response time. All those things I just listed. And to be able to sit back and watch my son do good. Not okay. Good. He does good. And I'm a little hard on him, right? I expect him to do better. I want him to do awesome. I want him to be the best. That's what I want for my son. So I don't mind playing this game. I don't mind holding all these other games on my backlog longer so that we can have fun together and play this game. I mean, as a dad, if you'd talked to me 10 years ago, years before he was born, and said, as a dad, what would you want? You know, I'd say, my 20 years ago, I'd say, oh, if I had a kid, I might be playing ball with him outside, throwing the baseball back and forth and, you know, football or something. Well, I was a gamer. I sucked at those things. I loved playing baseball, but I sucked at it. I was okay at games, you know, and now I have a son who understands, who loves, who enjoys it. He gets better. He tries harder. And it's hard sometimes as a strict, I'm a no bullshit kind of dad sometimes. Silly guy, but I want the best for him. And kind of like how my dad was with me, I don't tolerate nonsense, I guess is the best way to put it. We can be silly, and if there's definitely plenty of times to be silly. But when you're playing a game, I don't care if it's by yourself. When you're playing a game that has an objective to win, you try your best to win. I'm a Cub Scout leader right now, and the Cub Scout motto is do your best. Now, if you go into the game with the motto, I don't care if I win, you go into the game with the expectation that you're not in it to win it, you're in it to try to find all the secret spots, or you're not in it to win it, you're practicing a specific thing, or on this map, you wanted to see what happens when you go backwards. Yeah, but don't go playing Mario Kart and driving backwards every single match, right? If you're playing Mario Kart, go to play to win. And maybe that's just strict me, right? Fuck me for thinking that. Right? But I tell them, I'm not buying you these games if you're just going to mess around. There's an objective. Mario Kart, you're here to win, okay? You got good at Mario Kart. Fortnite's the same thing. Now, what I love about Fortnite is they put this playground mode in, and he can go into this playground mode and he can mess around. So he can go do his non-objective playing in a place where it's meant. Because what happens is, as a seven-year-old, he gets taken out in a regular competitive game and he gets upset. He doesn't have to live that life where we pop a quarter into a machine to continue playing. He doesn't have to live that life where, he's the older brother, right? His younger brother's 4 years younger than him, or 3 or 4 years younger. And there's enough video game systems in this damn house that no one has to sit there and wait. But when I was a kid, I had to wait, right? I had to wait for my brother, and there was like 3 video games total. I think we had Metroid, we had Zelda, we had Mario, Super Mario Bros. And then not too long after that, Christmas came, we got a bunch more. My dad and my mom got us a lot, you know, and then, but a lot to us was like 7, 8 total games. I have a backlog of several hundred games. His PlayStation has all the same games as mine. I share all the games on both of them. You can go through and play, and that's just too many. He couldn't possibly play all those games. But I want to bring this back around to what I was talking about before I go too far off on a tangent. It's confidence. When he is confident, he does good. As a 7-year-old, when he gets into some of these games and he gets a kill or two, or an elimination, as they want to call it, he gets this confidence and he's like not stressing out. And he gets a rhythm. It's only when his confidence falters, and I talk about it from his perspective because it's a pure one, right? He's young. He's just learning this stuff. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time, but his brain is still molding to the competitive aspect of these games where you're playing against people who are really good. And so just to factor that in, to factor in when his confidence is high, he does good. When his confidence is low and he thinks he sucks, he doesn't do very well at all. And then you see Fortnite Fall Skirmish. You have, 400 of the best, you know, some of the best players in the world. Some people got in by chance, and some of the other best players didn't play in it. There was a good handful of top streamers who are definitely some of the best in the world. They didn't play in this thing. I don't know why. I have no idea why. Dr. Disrespect or Tim the Tap Man or Ninja. You know, there's plenty of people who didn't make it to this tournament. But regardless, they had a couple of days. So Friday and Saturday, they had the pregame, the preliminaries to get yourself into the final game. And it was duos, right? So they got to pick their teams and stuff this time. And so there was elimination, 4 rounds of 100 players each, in each round. And in those 4 rounds, only the top 12 teams progressed into the finale, which was today, or which was Sunday the 28th. And so you saw some really good players get eliminated in that initial game, or initial heat, right? They had heat 1, heat 2, heat 3, and heat 4. And then the top 12 of each made it to the finale, and then they had some wild cards that made it into the finale to fill up the total spots. And then the finale was held today. And so here you have one of the top ranked teams. You had Vivid, right? And he and his teammate are some of the best players in this game. There's no doubt, whether it's solos or whatever, right? They're phenomenal this game. But if you watch any of their recent streams and the lead up into this, there's just a lot of negativity. I don't know why. Vivid used to be a very positive, or it seemed to me, in my limited time even knowing who the guy is, but he's one of the most winningest Fortnite players of all time. He's done a hell of a job making a name for himself in just a very short period of time. I don't know if it's the fame getting to him or if it's the stress of the game. I mean, there's a lot of bugs in Fortnite that cause some of these people to get pissed off. They make changes every week, big changes sometimes, and leading up to this tournament, they made some big changes. They made some demands. Players had to follow had to use their software, their computers, their mice, their keyboard, their chairs, their monitors, all that stuff, and their resolution. Some players play on stretched resolution, which just looks terrible. So as a viewer's perspective, we don't want to cut, or from an Epic perspective, right? They don't want to cut to this guy over here playing on a stretched screen because his screen looks like crap, right? So they restrict everybody, and some people got really pissed off about it. But funny enough, Bizzle and Tfue are two of the people who were talking, you know, hey, this sucks that we have to play on this other resolution, but they did really good. Meanwhile, others didn't do so well, and they blamed it on stuff like that. So, right? But going back to Vivid, his confidence just didn't seem to be there. And when his confidence is high, that guy wins, or he gets in the top two, top one, top three. When his confidence is low, he's out quick. And that's what we saw. He got knocked out in the heat, didn't make it to the finale today, and he wasn't there. And I think he was one of the people to be expected to potentially win this thing. On the flip side, winners of the Fortnite Fall Skirmish, which was a 6-week, $10 million competition, was Cloaksy and Tfue. Cloaksy and Tfue are from the FaZe Clan, which is an esports league that has players in a lot of different games. And Cloaksy has taken Tfue under his wing, and now Tfue has basically run the show for quite some time. As you know, Cloaksy brought Tfue into FaZe, and Tfue's just turned into this wonderful player. I mean, just absolutely amazing. The difference between going and watching college or high school baseball and major leagues is the same as you watching some of these players and Tfue. His gameplay is advanced. His knowledge of what's going to happen is advanced. His ability to predict movement, to get where he needs to go, to aim, all those things are just phenomenal. And he's grown from just a guy who utilizes exploits and things, and he's a very kind of a negative guy on a stream. But as you win millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars playing this game, you start to see the smile on his face. And so I'm interested to see what his next stream is like, because he did it. He won, him and Cloaksy. Funny enough, though, in this tournament, Cloaksy carried Tfue in today's game. Whereas Tfue is usually carrying everybody else on his back, he got carried by Cloaksy today, and just an amazing showing. Very hard to get points in these games, so out of six games today, Cloaksy and Tfue pulled off 17 points with 28 eliminations. Just to put things in perspective, 28 eliminations over the course of six games is pretty phenomenal. The next best team only had 22 and 12 points. So that nets Cloaksy and Tfue $400,000. Just a hell of a day's work, right? And Funkabomb and Nate Hill are the second place winners. 22 eliminations, 12 points. They net themselves $255,000. And then third place, you got Vinny and Zex Rowe, $165,000. So the reason I'm bringing this up and talking deep into it is when you're talking about this money, I mean, $400,000 for a weekend, right? $255,000, $165,000, fourth place got $90,000. The money going into this and the situations that are occurring are real. The tournaments are real. Things are starting to pick up, and this is now a real thing. And it's revolutionary. Everybody knows about Fortnite, and now everybody's going to know you can make a lot of money with Fortnite. Whereas League of Legends have been around for a while, right? Counter-Strike has been around for a while. People have been playing that competitively for a long time. But they don't talk about that stuff in the classroom. They don't talk about that stuff on Ellen, right? Ninja was on Ellen last week. Like, this stuff is prime time. This is where you see, in America anyways, which is a very healthy market, the healthiest in the world, this is where you see the potential. And someone like Tfue, who's just a guy who streams in his house, is now a star. The fucking crowd was going apeshit for these two. And he could carry that into a real career, right? I mean, the amount of money he's making at his age is phenomenal. And whether Fortnite's the game, he's going to be moving on to another thing, and people will follow, just like Ninja. Ninja was playing other games. Ninja had a crowd before he came to Fortnite. He was just very good at Fortnite before everybody else got good. And he had a big enough crowd that wanted to play this game with him. And it worked. And he became famous. And now when he streams, he gets 90,000 to 100,000 people at any given time. Same thing's happening with Tfue right now. When Tfue logs in, he gets 75,000 people watching him. You know, he's competing for that top spot now with Ninja. doesn't take much to fall from grace, right? One bad word on a, or one wrong thing to say on a stream or whatever, right? But that's the difference, right? Ninja is this white angel, and Tifu's the dark angel. When I say that, I mean, when you watch Ninja, he's a family friendly, he's, you know, throwing cutesy emotes, and he's dancing on stream, and he's very, very, he's a product-oriented streamer. He's obviously committed to Epic Games right now. He's got Red Bull sponsorships. The guy is a brand, and he's a good brand. He does a phenomenal job. He caters to these kids who are coming into Fortnite, but Tfue is the Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's the one coming in going, ah, fuck this game. Ah, fuck you. Ah, screw everybody. I suck at this game, and I can't believe I won. I suck. Since I suck and I won, that means all you suck too. That's Tfue. He's the Stone Cold. He's coming out here, and he's just like, ah, whatever. But now, you know, today was different. You see him win, see him smile up on stage. I'm sure that's going to change a little bit. The kind of money he just won is a bit different than, you know, yes, he's been making good money, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. When you drop a couple of years' salary on somebody overnight, and the potential for what's to come out of that, I'm sure we'll see a little bit of a different Tfue, and a Cloaksy's just fun to watch too. So, anyways, congratulations to those guys. One hell of an awesome weekend for me in enjoying this stuff and watching it. And I would recommend going to the Fortnite YouTube or Fortnite Twitch channels and watching the replays, even if you just watch today's replays. The games are like 25 minutes long, six of them. If you just watch the games themselves and not all the stuff in between, then you can get through, and you can get through it in an hour or two, and you can even skip through it if you're doing it on your own. It's worth watching. Seeing if you play the game and you know how normal games go, when you have the best in the world and you get down to the fifth circle and the circle's the size of a dime on your screen and there's 25 people left, and you have no idea, and they die, you know, 20 of those 25 people die in 1 second because storm damage is so high or whatever. The level of play, a lot of it's by chance, a lot of it's by skill, but it's still amazing to watch, and I recommend it. So check it out, Fortnite Fall Skirmish. Again, congratulations, Cloaksy, Tfue, FaZe Clan, finished first place. Do have to do one shout out real quick to the Ghost Clan. Now, the Ghost Clan is taking Fortnite by storm. They came in 4th, 5th, 6th, and 12th place, with an honorable mention as well of Ghost Aiden coming in 9th place alongside Nick Merckx. Ghost Clan is just another, you know, like FaZe Clan and all this. Ghost Clan's another group. They had 4 duos. So 8 players in the top 12. And Ghost Aiden as well. He decided to step aside from the Ghost Clan duo pack to team up with Nick Merckx. Now, if you follow Fortnite competitively at all, you'll know about this duo, but if you don't, they are console players who play with these keyboard players, and there's always this rivalry between people saying console players can never compete with PC players. Well, these two, and there's a couple of others out there, but these two are the primary ones. They have a huge, huge, huge crowd following now. They're no mercy type players. They push, they rush. They're not afraid to die. They get in there. They don't sit there, sit back. They are constantly super aggressive, and they play with controllers, and they play really good. These guys came in 9th place. If they had gotten 2 more kills in just one game, that would have put them in 2nd or 3rd place. So, you know, the wind blows one way, you could die in this game, right? One guy stepped on a trap or something, and he's out. If he didn't do that, game changer right there. So amazing, amazing stuff. Amazing to see controller players keeping up with the mouse and keyboard players. It's awesome, and gives us hope as controller and console players, because I prefer it on the console myself. I've always been a console guy. I have a PC. I have a gaming PC. I play on it, but it's just not the same for me. I prefer the controller. I prefer it. So with that, I move on to one other topic, not necessarily gaming related at all, but something I think is worth discussing real quick, and UFC. All right, so UFC just had Fight Night 138. Anthony Smith choked out Volkan Ozdemir. Michael Johnson defeated Artem Lobsov. Jesus Christ, can I get some words out? Let me take a sip of water here as I spill it all down my shirt. All right, let me repeat that. All right, here we go. So, Anthony Smith chokes out Volkan Ozdemir, and Michael Johnson has a decision win over Artem Lobov. Artem Lobov, best known for having the shortest arms in his division, in his weight class, and being close friends with Conor McGregor. So, Lobov gets a lot of shots just because he's Conor's friend, Conor's training partner, and he's one hell of a tough guy. I mean, this guy goes out on a consistent basis, taking punches to the face and gut. And he hasn't won a lot, right, in the UFC, but he gets these fights. He fought Michael Johnson on short, or Michael Johnson fought him on short notice. Michael Johnson's a beast, definitely, a higher ranked individual. And he came in, took the fight on short notice due to the, a couple weeks ago, you had the Khabib altercation with Conor. Artem's partner, or fighting partner, got fired or, you know, released by the UFC. Because he jumped in the ring and punched Conor in the face. So, it sucked for Artem because he didn't have an opponent. And so Michael Johnson stepped up. Now, Michael Johnson wasn't on weight. Artem Lobov said, if you don't make weight, you have to forfeit. I mean, the Nevada State Athletic Commission requires that they forfeit a percentage of their purse. Their purse is their winnings to the opponent. And Artem Lobov said, you know what? You took the fight on short notice. If you don't make weight, I will give you back the money I get from you for missing weight. And so that's remained to be seen, I guess. But he said he would do it. And Michael Johnson came in and beat him. But it was a decision. Lobov took some shots. He did not go down. And hats off to him for trading shots and fighting a guy who definitely is ranked higher. Hats off to Michael Johnson for stepping in, taking a short notice fight, and performing pretty good. Leads us to UFC 230. That's on November 3rd, coming up real quick, and I can't wait for this one. Daniel Cormier is taking on my man, Derek Lewis. And if you haven't seen Derek Lewis, Google him, YouTube him. He's got one of the funniest Instagrams you will ever see. He is hilarious. He fights until he's exhausted, and then he fights a little bit more. And if you watch his last fight, this guy was getting wrecked. I mean, absolutely decimated until 10 seconds from the last bell. And he clocked the other guy, knocked him out. This guy's power is out of this world. When he hits and he connects, he wins. Some of his fights are slow and boring to watch, but he fills it in with a phenomenal interview every time. The guy quit not too long ago. I mean, he just said, I'm done. I'm done with this. He has a bad back. He has herniated discs in his lower lumbar. I know what that feels like. He said he was done. And then he got home and he was like, what the fuck? So he's tweeting out, sorry, I don't quit. You know, I don't know what that was. But now he's going for the title, the heavyweight title. I hope he wins. I know a lot of people out there like Daniel Cormier. I just never really, I'm not watching fighting to see Guy Smiley here. Okay. I'm watching fighting to see the best in the world. Daniel Cormier is the kind of guy who he doesn't get lucky. The guy's good. I don't want to question whether or not he's good or not, but I just for some reason prefer to see him lose over top of many of the people he fights. He's a smotherer. He's strong as hell. He knocks people out. But I don't know what it is about him. Like John Jones taking him out, I think is the funniest thing in UFC because the only person that's beat Daniel Cormier is John Jones. And both times John Jones, now that he's got that the steroid thing over his head, now it's like question mark, but steroids are not John Jones, one of the best in the world now. So I don't know. It's just an interesting thing, interesting situation going on, and I can't wait for the next fight between these two. And then if DC does win, then you got definite follow-up with John Jones, who somehow got out of his problems with the Athletic Commission. He's fighting at the end of the year so that he can possibly get that light heavyweight belt back that he never really lost. It just got stripped from him. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But might be a DC John Jones part 3 I think John Jones takes that all away, regardless, even if he's been out for a while. Also on UFC 230 on November 3rd, we got Chris Weidman versus Jacare Souza. Can't wait for that fight as well. I favor Jacare Souza there. Not sure what Weidman's still got. He's one of those guys who will probably be a gatekeeper type guy for the rest of his career. I don't see him bouncing back, coming back to the title picture, but you never know. Chris Weidman is a workhorse. One solid win over Jacare, he could be right back up there. So I might eat my words, but in this world, in this division, anything can happen. So we'll see what happens, but I'm looking forward to those two fights. Lastly, I want to talk about Demetrius Johnson and Ben Askren. So UFC, Dana White personally has always hated this guy, Ben Askren. Ben Askren is a welterweight who is one of the best in the world, but he's never fought in the UFC. And he's always been very vocal, saying, if I'm going to be the best in the world, I got to fight in the UFC. I got to fight those guys. But he's a cocky dude. He talks more trash than Conor McGregor. And he's been doing it for a lot longer. And he holds his own. And he is definitely certified to be fighting in the UFC. But Dana White hated him. And Dana White has never, ever given that man a shot. And they've had many exchanges back and forth on Twitter or whatever. And currently today, Dana White is still blocking Ben Askren on Twitter. Demetrius Johnson, again, one of the best to ever do it. Proven. The guy has gone out and won for so long. He's cleaned up his division many times over. He's fought the same guys over and over again. He just lost the belt in my opinion, I wouldn't say questionable, but when you beat a champion to get a belt, it better be decisive, right? If it's one of those like, I don't know who won, I guess we'll give it to that guy because he held him down for 8 more seconds in round 3. That's not a good way to win a belt. And I think it's Covado or whatever his name is. He's the one who beat Demetrius Johnson. But Demetrius Johnson didn't lose. He just got, he lost to the judges. And you never leave it in the hands of the judges. Doesn't take anything away from Covado, but DJ is no doubt one of the best to have ever stepped in the octagon. And for some reason, I think it's because Dana White doesn't know how to sell this guy. But for some reason, Dana White's willing to let that division and let that man go. Walk away from his contract. And so 1FC and UFC have made an agreement in what you would consider a trade. They both have let their fighters out of their contracts so that Ben Askren can now finally come to the UFC. And Demetrius Johnson can go fight in Japan in 1FC. And it happened. It's over. It's official. It's sad news for me because I don't watch 1FC. And I watch Demetrius Johnson. He's a gamer. If any of you have ever gone on Twitch and watched this guy stream, he's funny. He's got a different viewpoint, right? He's a famous guy who loves to game. His viewpoint, his perspective when he's analyzing fights, well, he'll do streams sometimes when UFC's on, and he'll like commentate while he's playing World of Warcraft or he's played PUBG or, you know, these types of games. And it's crazy to me that he doesn't get a ton of people watching him. He's fun. He's fun to watch. He's a hell of a fighter, and he's grown on me. I used to be one of those people who was like, oh, get this division out of here, it's stupid. But when you see him fight one of the best, most technical fighters in the history of UFC, history of MMA, to let that man walk out that door is just some of the most egregious shit. Dana White and his politics and his stupidity, in my opinion, is crashing the UFC. Is sticking to one or two friends of his like Conor. I love Conor McGregor. I love watching Conor McGregor fight. But he shouldn't get preferential treatment over, you know, other people who are better than him. Right? Just because... Learn how to make a star. The UFC is good at taking stars from other places, and they were good at making stars many years ago. But in the last 5 years, the people who have popped up have been, no doubt, people who have earned it on their own and not through UFC coming along and helping make it happen. It's just sad when you see people like Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell still going at it. And those were the guys back in the day that helped build this brand. Yet, you see someone like Demetrius Johnson get forced out the door because they just don't want him. And that guy's brand is phenomenal. He had Microsoft and Xbox as his sponsor in the middle of the ring until they had to get rid of it and they had to wear Reebok instead. This guy is just amazing. Now, Ben Askren's amazing too. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. I have such a, I'm pissed off that they would let someone like that walk out the door. UFC, I've been watching that since I was a kid. I've been watching almost every single UFC event in history. It's sad. It's a sad day to see that. So tying it into gaming, you know, check out Mighty Mouse UFC on Twitch. I think that's what it is. Let me pull it up here and see. Yeah, it's Mighty Mouse. Where are we seeing? Okay, so his Twitter is at Mighty Mouse. And his Twitch is Mighty Mouse UFC 125, because he was the absolute king of the 125 division. I imagine that that link is going to change. I imagine his name will no longer be Mighty Mouse UFC 125 after this weekend. So stay tuned for that. But like I said, his Twitter is at Mighty Mouse. Oh, that's at Mighty Mouse UFC as well. And he hasn't tweeted. I don't know where to find. Just Google him if you really care. Hopefully you do. The guy's great and he deserves to be followed and I like watching him. So I'll keep you up to date if I find any additional information. Okay, let's get into a little bit more and then we'll rip through some of this upcoming news and stuff. So we changed our name, or when I say we, I personally got into the beta for the new PlayStation Network, whatever it's called, PSN. And so I have new software on my PlayStation, and this software is game-changing, I guess, in the sense that people have been asking for name changes for the longest time. They want to be able to change, you know, Super Papa Pump 2018 or 2008 to something a little bit more appropriate as they get older. And the reason, you know, the reason you can't just create a new one, right? Because now with digital games, all your purchases are tied to that account. So if someone had, like, you know, 420 Busta Rhymes, blah, 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 like, that's their name. And that's where all their games are tied to. You want to play any of those old games? You got to play as Busta Rhymes 422, blah, 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 blah. And so why can't you implement a name change system, a process? I mean, this is a long time coming. We're talking like 10 years people have been asking for this shit. Well, it's in the next patch. However, there's a caveat here. You could lose access to DLC. You could lose access to game saves. You could lose access to games you've purchased over digital. So there's a risk there. I took the risk because I have the ability to roll it back if I want to. So you get a one free change and one free rollback. If I run into a situation where a game I bought, if it's on my backlog or something, and I need to beat it. I don't know. I'll think about rolling back, but I changed my name. I changed from Earl's Tees, which for a long time, man, I had that, that business, earlstees.com. And I sold a lot of t-shirts, made some money on the side, and it was a lot of fun. But Earl's Tees is a thing of the past, and the Backlog Podcast is now the thing of the future. I'm committed to this, and I won't be selling t-shirts anytime soon. So I changed the name of my, my gamer tag. It is now The Backlog Pod, which is the same as our Twitter handle. Might not be the most innovative name, but, you know, people, when they saw Earl's Tees, my name's Kevin, right? So middle name's Earl. I got people constantly, Earl, is your name Earl? My name is Earl. Ha ha ha. You ever see that TV show? It's like, yeah, I play a lot of randoms. And so it got old. And on top of that, part of the reason my business was named Earl's Tees is all my life I was teased because my middle name was Earl. You know, my buddies, oh, your name's Earl. And it's not something to be ashamed of by any means. But when someone makes fun of you for something when you're 8 years old, 9 years old, it carries with you for a while. And one day I said, fuck it. I'm going to ride it. That's my middle name. Why should I be embarrassed by that? And so, I mean, I was named after a great person, a couple of great people. And I owned it. I created my business. We started as Loiter Line Tees, And I ended up buying out my partner because he wasn't too into it like I was. And so I moved on as my, you know, on my own. Couldn't come up with a name, so I said Earl's Tees. And put it in GoDaddy search. It came up, bought it right then and there. And for the next 10 years, I sold t-shirts under that name, and I owned it. And yeah, a lot of people searching for my name is Earl t-shirts found my website. I'm sure it helped. Wasn't the reason I did it. But again, time to retire that and bring on the Backlog Pod. I did send out a tweet, and I did post on the webpage there of the new handle for Sony. So I started getting a bunch of invites. Now, I have no idea who's who, okay? I don't add random people who for no reason. Now, I said to people, add me, whatever, right? I don't mind adding listeners at all. I'll play with listeners. But just shoot me a message. Let me know where you're coming from, because a lot of times when I'm playing random squads and things like that, there's these kids, you know, we're talking 8, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old that are just in these groups that I'm playing, and they constantly click add. So I'm not going to add kids of that age. I don't want kids of that age on my friends list unless it's my son. So just shoot me a message. You can tweet me at the Backlog Pod. You can hit me up on our Discord. All the links are right on our website. Or if you're hitting me up on PSN, just to, you know, to add me, just shoot me a message and say, hey, got you from the podcast. I'll absolutely add anybody who messages me and lets me know that they've added me on the podcast. So just do that at the time you send me the invite, if you want. Or if you go onto the Discord and say, hey, my gamer tag is this, and I shot you an invite, you'll get accepted. Or I'll shoot you an invite back if I've already declined it. But I'm not just going to blindly accept everybody. I don't want to do that. So utilize the tools we're providing for you guys, and appreciate it. A couple of other things to get to. So I finally watched Spider-Man Homecoming, the movie. It's been a while, but while the Spider-Man game is on my backlog here, and I'm anticipating playing and beating it in the next week or two, I wanted to finish the movie or see the movie before I did that. So I caught up on that, watched the movie, loved it, and I can't wait to finish the Spider-Man game, which I know it's not a take on the movie, but it's just, you know, get yourself in the mood. Got my kid starting to watch Spider-Man and movies like that, and he loves it, so it's exciting. And both my boys love swinging around the city in this game. Still one of the best games I've played in a long, long time, so I recommend that. Check out Joe's review on our website, thebacklogexposed.com. Also, started watching the TV show Cobra Kai. That's on YouTube exclusive, or whatever they call it, YouTube Premium, and it's interesting. For all you youngins out there who know the Karate Kid as Will Smith's son, whatever the hell his name is. No, it's Ralph Macchio. Ralph Macchio is the Cobra Kid, or whatever his name is, the Karate Kid. And the original Karate Kid is from a long time ago, and it's about a guy who moves to a new city and gets beat up, joins karate, or learns karate from Mr. Miyagi, who unfortunately has passed away years ago. But he learns the karate from that guy, and he learns how to be a good person, you know, inside and out before he learns that karate. Mr. Miyagi teaches him, you know, the ways of being a good human, and, you know, teaches him respect and things like that before he starts teaching him karate. And long story short, he goes in and he defeats the Cobra Kai, Johnny. He beats Johnny, who is, you know, the top dog in Cobra Kai. Well, Cobra Kai is that 30 years later TV show where Johnny just doesn't have it anymore. You know, he's like a cable installation, TV installation man, and just not living the best life, you know. Ever since that defeat back in high school from Ralph Macchio, he just he hasn't been able to capitalize on the success he had under Cobra Kai. And so, on the, you know, you get a perspective of this guy who's just kind of beaten down, and, you know, there's no reason to hate this guy anymore. You know, it's 30 years later and he seems like a decent chap, but he's just run down, you know, doesn't live in the best conditions and all that. And he looks up and he sees, Karate Kid there on the billboard. He's a car salesman now, and one of the best in the town. Got all the BMWs and all that shit. And his videos, his commercials are like super cheesy. And so on the flip side, now you got the Karate Kid is the bad guy, at least from episode one. And Johnny's the good guy. And Johnny has to end up going down to his shop to pick up his car, and they meet. And Ralph Macchio is just such a dick. He's so funny in that first episode. Now, I've been told to anticipate some changes to that plot line, anticipate some craziness as the season goes on. So I'm going to watch it. I wanted to check out episode one to see what it was about, see if it's something worth watching. And I think it's going to be. It's pretty funny. So Cobra Kai, YouTube. Now, Crystal and I, my wife Crystal, we every once in a while we'll just randomly go through Netflix or whatever and grab a show that we haven't ever heard of or whatever. We'll watch a little bit of it and see if it's funny or not. And we've caught some good ones. Chewing Gum is one of those TV shows that if you have not seen, it's just weird and funny and worth watching. So check it out. But the other day, she's skipping through and she came across this TV show, Las Muñecas or Muñecas de la Mafia. I have no idea if I'm pronouncing any of that right. I don't speak Spanish in any shape or form. Las Muñecas de la Mafia. So this is the cheesiest non-English TV show I've ever seen in my life. It has subtitles. And I don't know, it's like a combination of fake Scarface, Mexican Scarface, and Desperate Housewives or something, but it's like this cheesy TV show. And I guess it was out in early 2000s and they're revamping it, or they did revamp it for season two or something. I don't know, but it's so bad it's good. And we started watching that and it's pretty funny. So Los Muñecos de la Mafia, and I'm butchering that. So yeah, check that out. It's just stupid. It's so stupid. It's funny. Been doing a lot of 3D printing. Okay, I know I'm still not getting into video games here, but this is just trying to gloss over what's been going on. Been building a lot of stuff to make this 3D printer better. Been working on some things, and to tie it into gaming, I went into Roblox. My kids play Roblox, and your kids might too. I went into the game. There's a tool you can go and extract your character from the game. And, you know, in Roblox, it's one of those ones where you customize your shirt, your pants, your hat, your hair, all that fun stuff. And so I took both my kids' characters out of the game after some intense learning of 3D modeling, probably 3 days of really heavy YouTube video watching, trial and error, and all this stuff. I finally made it work. I extracted their files. I meshed them. I 3D meshed them. I blendered them. I did all sorts of things, and I made these characters, and I printed them, and they're now toys that my kids can play with, and they were blown away. They were like, holy cow, that's me, you know, and it was so cool to be able to see their smiles on their face, and it's just something else to be able to use this 3D printer and make 3D things, and the modeling, the ability to model the 3D things in these tools is kind of weird. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but I'm getting the hang of it, and I'm doing it. And the next big print I plan on doing is a Drift mask from Fortnite Season 5 for Jagger for his Halloween costume. He doesn't know about it yet. Unfortunately, I blew a fuse in my 3D printer trying to fix a fan on the inside because I've been doing all these mods and stuff. So I have to wait for the fuses to come on Tuesday. And so I don't know if I'm going to be able to print it in time, but I hope I can because I really want to get this mask for him. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But if I can, I can't. If I can, hopefully he's the coolest kid in town. Okay, Black Ops 4. Haven't been playing much of that. I play Black Ops when I have people to play with. I'm going to be playing with my cousin here soon because he hit me up. And buddy, shout out to you, man. Looking forward to it. He is been playing a lot of UFC game. And so now he's got Black Ops 4 and I got Black Ops 4. We're going to go out and frag some people, man. Let's do it. He and my other cousin, Ricky, are going to be starting a podcast here. So I'm going to try to get them on to talk about what they're going to be doing. Probably more UFC centered podcast. I don't think it's going to be gaming specific, but who knows? Regardless, I will definitely and gladly tell y'all to listen to them because they're good people. They're my cousins. And, you know, I'm looking forward to helping them out, getting them off the ground here, and we'll get them on the show in a couple weeks here when they're ready. I don't know what their time frame is, so we'll talk to them. But again, I'm going to be playing with some Call of Duty. Hopefully Joe unblocks me. Joe, if you're listening to this podcast, come on, man. Let's go. Let's play some Call of Duty, man. And one thing I noticed today was I checked it out, and it's got a 4.6 user rating on Metacritic. 85 Metascore. So the reviewers, the professional reviewers are out there saying this is a great game. The players who are rating it are saying this game ain't that good. Unfortunately, with Metacritic and some of these gaming sites, when you have people doing that, you don't always get the best combination. Like, that's a very drastic difference, right? An 8.5, one of the best games out there, as opposed to the players saying, nah, it's shit. Is the problem that the site lets anybody rate it and people are just being assholes and rating it low? Or do people really feel that this game isn't that good? Now, I gotta say, I mean, it's one of the better Call of Duties I've played in the last 5 years. And so it surprises me to see such a low user rating. I'm hoping that that's just not a glitch, but like, you know, more of a meme to downvote that game as it is to, you know, the actual players playing it, because it's a fun game. It's actually really good, in my opinion. And the Blackout is just, it's out of this world. I look forward to being able to play Blackout with some people. So let's see where else are we at here. Okay. I talked about this a little bit, but one of the only things I've been doing this week, other than the World Series Fortnite Fall Skirmish, UFC, 3D printing, and a little bit of TV, is I've been playing Fortnite with Jagger. I've been enjoying that a lot, so I kind of already skirted over that. So I don't really have much more to talk about from what I've been playing this week perspective. Next week, I will tap into a little bit of Red Dead Redemption 2. I purchased that game. I think last week I was talking on the podcast that I wasn't going to get it. I had already bought it. I didn't even remember. It was one of those like 4 a.m. groggy, couldn't go to sleep, and someone posted a $35 deal. So the only thing is, it's coming in the mail. It should be here by Tuesday, and it's going to be in Spanish on the outside. I guess the game on the inside and the disc is an English-based copy, but all the outside is not. So I got a deal on it for that purpose. I don't usually buy disc-based games anymore, but you know, that game will not be $35 for the next 2 years. So I took that chance. Hopefully we'll be getting that on Tuesday, and I'll pop it in and do the 5,000 gigabyte download and go from there. But I'm looking forward to it. That game has nothing but great reviews. Joe's been playing it. And next time we talk, hopefully he'll be on and he'll be able to provide his feedback and his initial reviews of the game. Hype factor is super high right now. All the GIFs, all the videos I've been seeing on Reddit and on the internet are just phenomenal. This game looks so damn good. The only thing that scares me a little bit is everything's slow. Every time I've seen this game, anything is just like this slow walk, this slow riding on the horse. And I like a little bit more fast pace. I'm not going to prejudge it because everyone's saying it's phenomenal. So I'm going to go into it hoping that either the slowness is just part of the act or feels right or whatever. But yeah, this game is looking like it's living up to that hype, and I can't wait to play it. I'm actually really glad that I did buy it and am not waiting, even if it was a 4 a.m. sleep drunk type thing, which can be dangerous because I've purchased stupid things like riding lawnmowers and saunas and all sorts of stupid shit on a credit card at that time of night. So $35 ain't going to break the bank. What is going to break is the internet on 11/21. Coming out in November, we got Ralph Breaks the Internet. And I think even us dads and moms can sit back and enjoy a good Disney movie every now and then. I know I've loved certain Disney movies along the way. Let's go back all the way. Aladdin, I'd say, is one of my top. But Stitch is good. Let's see. Just thinking of some of the best ones, in my opinion. Aladdin will always be that one for me, but yeah, I liked Wreck-It Ralph. I like a lot of the Pixar stuff that comes out, and I'm really looking forward to Ralph too. I thought the first one was so well done, and to be able to watch a movie with my kids and still enjoy it just as much as if they weren't there, I think that's good. And so my kids are both super excited about this one. I think Wreck-It Ralph is just one of those characters that, again, being a video game, loving video games, seeing video games come to life in these worlds and all that, is just, they did it so cool. And this one looks to be even more groundbreaking in the sense of integrating what we hear on this podcast know and love, such as video games and internet memes and all that stuff, to be able to see that brought in by such a large audience of Disney customers. It's fun. It's fun to see that happen. So I look forward to that, and I'll be glad to bring my kids and my wife down to watch that. Unfortunately, it probably won't work on MoviePass, because since we've talked about MoviePass last, I haven't been able to use it. MoviePass sucks. MoviePass, the parent company, has shelled off MoviePass and casted it off separate as a separate company. And that service will not be around in its same state by any means. Every day when I go in to look at what's available to watch, nothing's available, or one movie's available. And, you know, I used to be able, when it first came out, it was phenomenal. I could at 10 o'clock at night say, let's go catch an 11 o'clock matinee, or I'm sorry, 11 o'clock movie. And I could just jump in the car when I was bored. My wife was in bed. Just go catch a movie at 11. Come home at 1, play some video games. But now it's like, if you don't check in by 6 a.m., every movie that they've got in my town is done. It's just stupid. It's the most bullshit thing I've ever seen. So I paid for a year. That year comes up in November, and I'm done. And I won't ever take that service up on their offer again. I think MoviePass was a great idea. The original contract I signed should have been offered or honored. And just because they put an asterisk and says subject to change doesn't give them the right to change it so drastically that it's not the same product that I purchased. And that's that. So anyways, moving on, there's a couple more movies coming out soon that I'm looking forward to. We got Holmes and Watson, which is a Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly flick coming out on Christmas. And obviously, anytime those two get into a movie together, it's a must watch. I don't think this one will be any different, although it's going to be a little bit more serious acting, probably. We'll see. I don't know. Obviously, being Holmes and Watson, well-known characters, is we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I think that's going to be a fun one, though. Definitely a good Christmas time flick. But also in December, we got Aquaman coming out, and Bumblebee, Aquaman 1214, Bumblebee 1221, and Clint Eastwood's coming out with another movie, The Mule, which looks interesting on 1214. Let's see. Oh, TV shows. Okay, so I've been reading and hearing a lot about this Haunting of Hill House, Netflix TV show, super scary looking. Some people laughed about it, said it wasn't that scary. Other people are like, holy shit. Now, I watched the trailer. It definitely made me uncomfortable. The scariest movies to me are those ones that make you uncomfortable. When I was a kid, I loved the jump scares and all that. I can do without that right now. The jump scares are, you know, I just don't have the anxiety levels I could handle when I was a kid. So definitely, I'm going to try to watch that. Haunting of Hill House. So that's a upcoming game or movie that I'm interested in. Been watching, trying to catch up on the backlog of movies, Mission Impossible series. I'm through 1 and 2. Going to be moving on to 3 soon here. All right. So another movie that's going to be something I have to watch here is the movie Split. Split is, funny enough, the Split movie in a 3-part series. Unbreakable is the first movie in that series. Came out 18 years ago in November, okay? Unbreakable was a movie about a guy who found out he had superpowers. The guy being Bruce Willis. His enemy, I guess, in the movie is Samuel Jackson, who he was like Mr. Glass, right? Every time he fell, he got broken more, but he was a mastermind. And it was just a really interesting movie. I loved Unbreakable, M. Night Shyamalan type movie. Or no, he was the director of that movie. And not too long ago, a movie called Split came out. And I didn't know this, but that's in the same universe as Unbreakable. So they are coming out with the next installment, Glass. And Glass is part 3 of a 3-part movie series. And I guess the guy from Split is going to be in it. And it looks like a bad guy or something. So I need to go catch up on this and watch Split so that I can watch Glass when it comes out. Something I definitely want to do. So yeah, that's on the agenda here. And now We're going to wrap up this show with a quick breakdown of some of the most highly anticipated new releases or upcoming games for the rest of 2018 into 2019. I know I don't have everything here, but I went through and just grabbed some of the ones that shot out at me, the things that I want all of you to consider as we wind down October, as we hit Halloween, and as we fill our bellies with Thanksgiving food and open up our presents on Christmas Day. We need to recognize that we have some amazing games coming out. Now, recently released, October 26th, Red Dead Redemption 2. That's going to satisfy everyone for quite some time, right? You're going to be playing that for the next month or two, if you're serious about it. I personally hate diving into one game at a time, but over the past year, it's been Fortnite. Hopefully, this one will pull me away a little bit, and I'll get into some story-based games. I'm going to be playing Red Dead Redemption 2. I do have to beat Assassin's Creed Odyssey, because I am also in the middle of playing Assassin's Creed, whatever the newest one is. I got that for free until January because I got in on the Google, the beta for the Google Play on your computer thing streaming, and the game looks phenomenal there. So I played like the first act. I don't think it ruined any story. Now I need to go back and play Odyssey. So those are a couple of the games there. We also got the Spider-Man DLC that just came out on 10/23. Again, Metacritic reviews aren't looking too good for that, but the game's phenomenal. So any more of that game, I imagine, would be just as phenomenal. And something else came out not too long ago, Jackbox Party Pack 5. I wanted to mention this real quick because if you're a fan of party games and if you're a fan of playing with, you know, friends and family around, the Jackbox Party Packs 1 through 4 are something I'll vouch for every day. Many, many, many times we have gotten groups together, family, friends, whatever. It doesn't matter who. You don't have to know everybody. When you get Fibbage going, or you get Drawful, or any of these games that come along with the party pack, they always, always, always are a winner. The way these games work, right? You start up the game, you get a code on the screen. XY123, right? You go to jackbox.tv. When you hit the website, you're there on your phone, right? Everyone's controller is their phone. They put the game code in on the phone, and then they're connected immediately to the game. So they put their name in, draw a little picture of their icon or whatever. It's always funny to see what people choose for their names and their pictures, trying to guess who's who. And then you play, right? And when you play, you're playing against everybody or with everybody or whatever, however the game is that you're playing. And some of these games have some really cool styles. And Fibbage, for example, is you're trying to come up with the best fib, and you want people to guess your fib over the correct answer. You might not know what the correct answer is, but you're trying to come up with something that makes them pick your thing. And it's highly competitive, a lot of fun. And this came out on 10/16. It comes with the base game, You Don't Know Jack. Comes with a game, You Don't Know Jack is just a basic trivia game. It's been out for many, many years, but they keep enhancing it for this party pack. You also get Split the Room, which is a what-if game that has divisive hypotheticals. So I guess that's going to be, everyone picks one or the other type thing, and you get to see the end results, which can be a lot of fun. Mad Verse City, which is a lyric writing game. You write songs or whatever, and then it probably plays it out or something. Patently Stupid, which is a competitive drawing game, and they've done really well with their previous drawing games, so I look forward to this one. And then the last one here is Zeeple Dome. It looks like a multiplayer game show type video game where you're launching aliens or something. I don't know. I don't know if that one's going to really fit in here, but we'll see. They've been consistent on their party packs in the past, so once I get this one and once we have some friends over here in Jacksonville, I'll probably buy this and we'll see what happens. But until then, it'll be on the backlog for a while. Also, Kingdom Hearts, the story so far, coming out 10/30. Now, the highly anticipated game Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out next year. And I gotta say, anything Kingdom Hearts related gets a lot of people turning their heads. So the story so far is going to be a combination of several of the packs, the 1.5, the 2.5, the 2.8, 2.8.5, 2.3¾, and blah, 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 right? Kingdom Hearts has so many different iterations, it's freaking crazy, but the story so far should get you up to speed with where you're at so that in January when Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out, you can be ready to go for that game and all caught up. be on the lookout for that. November 6th, we got Deracine, or Deracina, however you want to pronounce it. It's a French game. From Software, again, the makers of Bloodborne and several other great games. They're putting out this PlayStation VR game. Definitely something I'm going to be checking out because that company is great, and this game looks phenomenal. Tetris Effect. I don't have to say this again, but I will. 11-9. I can't wait. 2 weeks. Not even 2 weeks. 11 days from today. I can't wait to play this game. I'm hyped for it. It is going in my system the second it comes in. I am playing it, and that's happening. Also on that day, Hitman 2 is coming out. Hitman, I love playing those games, but they're just not fast-paced enough for me, and I never finish them, so I don't buy them anymore. But Hitman 2 is coming out 11-9. Spyro, Reignited. Spyro, if you recall, is one of those PlayStation games that they tried to make Spyro like the face of the company years ago, and it's taken off, but not to the level that they need it. The Reignited is like a remastered, I guess, of the other Spyros, so that comes out November 13th on PlayStation 4. Fallout 76, another big anticipated game coming out November 14th. I don't have to get too deep into the Fallout series because you're probably well aware, but if not, this has been a fan favorite type game for many years. Fallout, Fallout 2, Fallout 3, Fallout 3 New Vegas, Fallout 4, and now Fallout 76. Any of these games are a lot of fun. Bethesda puts out quality content. It's like a Skyrim, but with a different look and feel, right? Same premise, same type of game, walking around this world, but it's more of a futuristic, using guns and stuff like that, as opposed to casting spells and things like that. Fallout 76 comes out November 14th. Definitely looking forward to that one, but I'll probably wait until like 2019 or something to play that, because I still have to beat Fallout 4. It's on my list. Battlefield 5, November 16th. I'm looking forward to that one too, and I can't wait to find out even more details about their Battle Royale style game. With the success of Blackout and Call of Duty, I'm really, really interested to see what Battlefield 5 brings. I know it's not going to be 100 people. It's going to be, 60 people or something like that. And it's going to be a little bit different. But Battlefield always pulls it off. And when I played the demo, the beta for Battlefield 5, it won me over again. The one thing I won't do is pre-order this game. I'm not going to pre-order it because EA doesn't deserve it. So I'm going to wait a week or two after it launches, make sure it's a game that's quality, that people aren't bitching about, that doesn't lose some of the pep that they expect, that we expect as customers. So I'll wait to buy that one, and I recommend that everyone else does too. December 3rd, we got that PlayStation Classic console we've talked so much about. That's coming out, that $100 and all for, 11, 12 games. Skip that one if you can. Wait and see, but it's going to sell out regardless, so whatever I say doesn't matter. On the following day, December 4th, another game. Like, this game right here is another game I'm going to have to buy. Just Cause 4, Just Cause 2, Just Cause 3. Just unbelievable games. I mean, unbelievable. I love them. I love them so much. I played Just Cause 3, came out. That was one of those ones I couldn't put down. I put it in, couldn't put it down. You can do so much destruction, so much activity in that game. The storyline's pretty darn good. And it's just one of those free, when you think of open world, I cannot tell you a more open world game than Just Cause 3. The ability, the mobility in that game, being able to fly from point A to point B at any given time, to grapple up into the sky, to grab a plane out of the sky, take it to wherever you want. F-16s, crazy, super fast to super slow, whatever you want. That game has literally every bit of it. It's just so phenomenal. So the next installment of that game is something that I will own the day it comes out. They've earned it. In my opinion, one of the best games I've ever played is Just Cause 3. I just had so much fun playing it. It's everything Grand Theft Auto is and more, in my opinion, minus the level of story. Grand Theft Auto had better story. But if Just Cause 4 can bring in multiplayer of some aspect, or if it can, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what it can enhance on. The graphics for 3 were great. 4 looked pretty good. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to play that. So December, Just Cause 4. On the 7th, we got Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Definitely going to be a huge one there. Again, Katamari Damacy coming out on the Switch on the for $30 on the 7th as well. That's a big day for the Switch. Smash Brothers is another one that is kind of like a must-buy in my family. So Man, I'm going to be spending some money here wrapping up 2018, but the Smash Brothers is a phenomenal game, and this one is ultimate. It's got everybody. It's an updated version of every game that came out, and there's going to be some special surprises as well. Can't wait to get that. Switch is starting to become a console that has a lot of games that are worth playing, and it's about time, because a year ago when I had it, I was like, why the hell do I have this thing? It seemed like a you know, commodity that wasn't really necessary. And now some of these independent games that you can't get on the Wii U and you can't get on any of the other systems, you need Switch for it. Smash Brothers is it, man. I'm telling you. I wish that the Mario Kart was a more advanced version than just the same game with everything unlocked. But, you know, I'll be looking forward to the next Mario Kart as well. Moving on here, Borderlands 2 VR coming out 12/14. I already pre-ordered that one. Cannot wait. That, I hope, is everything that we expect it to be. I watched a little bit of you know, they had some video here at TwitchCon and of people playing it. The initial reviews are good. Doesn't have the co-op. Doesn't have all the players. I don't know if it has all the DLC from Borderlands 2, but from what I recall, there was plenty of story for me, so I can't wait, and I'll be playing that as well. The movement was interesting looking. You know, that you can jump far and fast, and in VR, jumping far and fast quickly can induce quite a bit of you know, nausea on some people. So interesting to see what the VR legs are going to be like here. Interesting to see if my gut can handle it. I imagine it will be able to, but we'll see what happens. 12/14 coming out. Ace Combat coming out. In January 18th. Joe, if you're still listening, man, get that VR before Ace Combat comes out so you can play it. That's going to be VR and non-VR. So probably more of a gameplay in non-VR, but it's going to have both. Resident Evil 2 Remake coming out January 25th. And then the beloved Kingdom Hearts 3, as we talked about, January 29th. In February, we have Anthem on the 22nd, along with Metro Exodus. Metro, one of those games that has been carrying a story for quite some time. A couple of games coming out. They all look good. They all sell pretty good. It's not always a dominant game seller, but it's up there. I have them both on my backlog, and this one will probably go there too. I'll probably have to wait for this one to go on sale because I have so many games to play, but definitely on my radar. Every time I see Metro, I want to play it. So it's going to be there soon. Trials Rising comes out February 28th. Trials Fusion is one of the games that my kids play and go to all the time. It's just like a psych bike on steroids. From left to right, you go. The graphics are phenomenal. I did the demo or a beta on this one. The gameplay is really good. Looks even better than Trials Fusion. We'll be getting Trials Rising as well. And then going into March, we have Division 2, March 15th. That one's a questionable one. I'll have to wait and see a little bit more as we get into March. Luckily, that's a few months away, and a lot can happen between now and then. But Division 2, I love Division 1. I just never played it all the way through because it got a very repetitive. Maybe they'll correct some things there. But Division 1 looked so good that I can't wait to see what they do with Part 2. Dreams VR, I have that still listed as TBD. I hope that comes out in 2018, but again, I hope that comes out when it's ready. That's supposed to be a game changer, and if it does what it says, it'll change the world. So we'll see what happens there. Some notable games coming out in 2019. I'm going to run through these real quick. I won't get into too many details on any of them, except for I'll just tap into a few here real quick. But Days Gone, this is a biker game that people were waiting for, and it keeps getting delayed, keeps getting delayed, keeps getting delayed. Days Gone. It's not gone yet, but it got delayed again. It's supposed to come out soon. Now it's, April, March, I don't know, 2019. We'll see what happens there. It's hordes of zombies. It's playing against really smart AI, biker guy in the wild, you know, Walking Dead style. But the zombies are supposed to be, you know, dynamic in a way that has never been done before. I can't wait to play this game. This is definitely a game that's been on my radar for over a year. It's been on the cover of magazines. It's been on talked about at E3 quite a bit, and it keeps getting delayed. I hope that it's getting delayed for the right reasons and so that they can make it perfect. Because if they delay it just to make it better, that's the right thing. Now, if they're delaying it because they're like, oh shit, this game just isn't good, we got to time it right so that we can get the maximum sales, I hope that's not the case. As always, Last of Us is on the tip of our tongues. Last of Us 2 is coming out soon. Definitely something that we're going to be looking out for. I would play that game today if it came out. Last of Us 1 was one of the best games in the history of gaming. You gotta like that style, though. Some of the people who don't like Last of Us don't like Uncharted. They feel the linear aspect of the game is just too forced. There are zones, you know. It's like a, it is like a left to right scroller, but it's open world. You know, you walk through the level like it's an open world, but when you get to the end of that zone or whatever, it's the end, and you progress, and then you can't go back. You know, it's not like open world in that sense, but it feels open world. Same with like Uncharted or whatever. It feels open world until you have to go to the next zone. And, you know, I didn't mind it. I thought Last of Us was just incredible. The story, I would watch that as a movie. I feel like it was a movie, even though I played it. Last of Us 2, I just can't wait. I can't wait. I think it's going to be phenomenal. Also in 2019, Nintendo is going to be releasing the new Super Mario's U Deluxe on the Switch. It contains both the base game and the new Super Luigi U DLC. Money grab here, right? Nintendo definitely has been doing this quite a bit, just taking old games from the Wii U and porting them over to the Switch. I think that's bullshit. If you're going to charge anything close to the base price of the game, $60 and all that stuff, they do it. They continue to do it. And people continue to buy it. So what can you say? I don't blame them, but come on. Death Stranding, that's a huge one. Definitely looking forward to that in 2019. Crackdown 3. Coming out 2019. That's a big one. Microsoft, one of those Microsoft console type things. Overkill, The Walking Dead. This one looks like a really cool version of The Walking Dead. Definitely want to see more of it as it progresses into 2019. But I love zombie games personally, so I look forward to it, and definitely looking forward to if they ever make Left 4 Dead 3 or something like that. You know, I'll be there. But in that same vein, Dying Light 2, right? Dying Light 1 was another zombie game. Where, I mean, I personally can't get enough of the zombie games. I'm okay with it. It makes sense for gaming for me. I haven't gotten sick of that genre. But Dying Light 1 was one of those, like, you're parkouring through the cities and really, really cool gameplay. A pretty cool story. This is the extension of that coming out next year. That company has been phenomenal with updates of their game. When they could have been taking that game and packaging up and selling pieces of it here and there, selling updates, selling this and that, instead, they went ahead and remastered their base game for everybody who had it. They went ahead and added things for free. Cars, vehicles, weapons, enemies, zones. They just keep progressing that game. Even, I believe recently, they turned their game into a battle royale, at least on the PC. So, they're still working on that game, but Dying Light 2 is coming out next year. And I'll be getting that as well because, I think the developers have done a phenomenal job keeping their customers happy. And two, I love the game. Looking forward to the next installment of that story. Doom. The next installment of Doom is coming out. Doom Eternal. 2019 looks to be phenomenal for Doom. That game looks great. The visuals. A little bit brighter than the last Doom, at least in the videos I saw. Very, very, very crisp and clean graphics. We'll see what happens when it gets released, but definitely looking for that one in 2019. Wolfenstein's coming out with a VR game, Cyberpilot, as well as a next installment of their game, Youngblood. Nintendo's coming out with Yoshi's Crafted World, which looks like a different take on Woolly World, where it just looks like another installment of Woolly World, but they're calling it Crafted World, a little bit more than Yarn this time. Dead Island 2 expected to come out 2019. We'll see if that happens because that's been pushback quite a bit. Anthem. I talked about that a little while ago. That's a big one on the radar. February 22nd. Be on the lookout for that. Look into that one because Anthem is one of those games that I think could be a game changer or, you know, nothing. It could be like, you know, what Destiny did. Anthem is supposed to be one of those big ones coming out. So we'll see what happens there. And last but not least, Cyberpunk 2077. That's a big one on the radar from CD Projekt Red. They made the Witcher series. Their next installment is Cyberpunk 2077. That one looks to be possibly the game of the year 2019. We'll see what happens. So many good games coming out. So many things to talk about. Thank you for sticking with me through all the Fortnite, all the World Series, all the UFC, all the 3D printing, and all the movies and TV shows before we got to all the video games. Please hit me up on Discord. Hit me up on Twitter. At the Backlog Pod. Go to our website, thebacklogpodcast.com. I was going to say at gmail.com. Well, we also have an email as well. Hit us up wherever you need to. keep in touch, contact, let me know what your thoughts are on any of these games. We still got some giveaways and things we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks, maybe a holiday giveaway or something like that. Trying to grow the channel, trying to grow our Twitter. Twitter's starting to pop. Like I said, I just made an announcement last week saying that I changed my PS4 name, and I got probably a dozen or two requests, and I have no idea if it's connected to this podcast, but I got to admit, I think it is. We're starting to grow. Podcast is starting to hit more people. I've been saying that for a long time, but actually now I'm seeing the trend. Every month has been better than the last, and now October has killed September. I hope that November can kill October, and then we can start riding into December. I know it'll probably dip there a little bit because people be on vacation and things like that, but as long as we're pumping out at least one episode a week, and potentially two, trying to, but things have been busy. You know, Joe's not always going to be here. He's trying to be, but things are going, you know, we've always talked about how busy he is. I'm going to be filling in with special guests here and there as I need to. But today I just had so much to talk about, so many things to get to. I didn't need a co-host today because I had a whole bunch of stuff written down, ready to go. Without further ado, I'm going to wrap up this show. I think it's time, 2 o'clock in the morning for me here. Love y'all. Thank you all for listening. It's so fun to do this podcast. And it's something that it's a passion of mine, and I'm going to keep pumping out as much as I can. All I ask is that you share, you like, you talk about it with your friends, you let people know, because it's the only way it's going to make it worthwhile for me is if people are listening. And I appreciate what you've been doing for all the newcomers. I appreciate you sticking with us. Thank you. Have a great Halloween, everybody. We'll be talking to you soon.